Good morning. I see most of you have brought your libraries with you. As a matter of fact, that's what this is, isn't it? The Latin word, I understand, biblia, means library. And actually, there's 66 books bound up in this one beautiful volume. So what I'd like you to do this morning with me is pull out one of the slimmer volumes from your library in the Old Testament. And that book I'd like to look at this morning, or a portion of it, is the Book of Ruth. Probably the most, in one sense, the most beautiful story that is told in the Scripture concerning a stranger, Ruth the stranger. So turn with me to the Book of Ruth. We like to read, first of all, most of the first chapter. Now it came to pass, in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws, and that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. And where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. Verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Father, we pray today that you would bless this reading of your word. Father, we would ask too that you would, by your Spirit, open the word to us so we might have an understanding, Lord, of your great provision for us, your great love for us, even for strangers like us. And so, Father, we would ask again to shine your face and your light upon this page of Scripture, we pray in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, the book of Ruth sits between the book of Judges and Samuel. It's a beautiful little book. The book of Judges shows us the falling away of the people of God and God's restoration of them through the judges, who give a temporary and local relief to the nation. And the book of Judges is one of the more sorrowful, sad books of the Bible, whereas Ruth is one of the most beautiful. And Ruth shows us another side of those days, because it was there in verse 1, we read it was in the days that the judges ruled. God in grace, we see working even in the midst of the departure of Israel. The cycle in Judges was the people departed from God, began to worship idols. God sent oppressors to oppress them. They cry out to the Lord in repentance, and he delivers them through one of his judges. And that's the repeated cycle. But throughout all this, God is working in grace. And here we see a beautiful picture of that. The book of Ruth, it also is in a particular place between the time when God ruled through the judges. God was the God of the king of Israel, and when God would give them an earthly king. So it is a connection between the judges and the book of 1 Samuel. Also within that book, we read the genealogy of the king as cementing, as it were, that connection, that intermediate connection between the judges and the kings. Also, Ruth is a beautiful picture of the Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, pictured in the work, the ministry and work and life of Boaz. Now, a little background. She's called over and over again Ruth the Moabitess damsel. Who are the Moabites? They were descendants of Lot. They were sworn enemies of Israel. They worshipped the god Chemosh. The god Chemosh demanded child sacrifice. They sacrificed their children to this god, demanding this, the very fruit of the nation, to be sacrificed for him. There have been archaeological digs where they have found around some places of worship skeletons of infants. And so this is not something that is just dreamed up by interpreters from the Bible. They were a morally impure nation. Balaam taught the king of Moab how he could defeat the Israelites. It was through the immorality of the Moabite women. They did not have a good reputation. Now, the story takes place, as I said, where the judges ruled, and much attention has been given in the opening verses of this to the departure of Elimelech and Naomi in a time of famine. But this book is called the Book of Ruth. And rather than concentrate on Naomi and Elimelech and their faults, we're going to talk about Ruth this morning. This stranger from Moab, who through faith becomes a gleaner in the fields of her Redeemer, her future Redeemer, and ultimately becomes his bride through redemption. There's three phases in Ruth's life. First as a stranger, then as a gleaner among the reapers of God's people, and then as a bride united to her Redeemer. A little more background is the interesting point that Ruth's name means beautiful. She was a beautiful Moabite damsel. Why would she be married to Mahlon? Mahlon and Chilion were sickly boys. And Mahlon actually means sickly. Chilion means pining or almost without strength, without any physical or mental strength, it would seem. Rather a poor choice for a beautiful Moabite damsel. But chronologists put this story right at the beginning of the book of Judges, because Boaz was the son of none other than Rahab the harlot. Rahab, you remember, right at the book of Judges, she was from Jericho. And one of the princes of Israel, Salmon, married Rahab. And their child was named, they named their son Boaz. And Boaz is very much figures in here. So this happens right at the very beginning of the book of Judges, a few years later, and the chronologists fit this time of what we're looking at here, at the time when Eglon, the king of Moab, had oppressed Israel, and Ehud, the judge, had come in and had killed Eglon, and Israel had destroyed many of the warriors of Moab. And so that Moab then was deficient in eligible men. Many of their young men had been slain in battle by Ehud and the Israelites. So that may explain why these two Moabite women would marry these two sickly Israelite boys. It would also explain how that Elimelech and Naomi would go down to Moab, because there would be probably some open land for them to easily acquire, because Moab was in a time of real problems. They needed some immigrants to carry on. So that's a little background there. Without many eligible men in Moab, they marry sort of leftover Israelites. I want to look, though, the little time that we have left, at Ruth the stranger. We know that ultimately she said to Naomi, "I want your God to be my God." How did she come to that point? We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how did this faith develop in this Moabite woman, who is, we can call her a widow now, because as would be expected, these two weak boys died. Now we have three widows living in a house. But where would she get the information to trust in this God that of the Israelites? Certainly, she'd have the testimony of this backslidden believer, this backslidden Israelite. They don't forget, Naomi was a backslidden believer. She had left the place of the land of promise and gone into the world to seek her fortune. And she lost everything. Now, that would she'd be probably a very poor testimony. But there was in that ancient world at that time the knowledge of what God had done to the Egyptians. Turn with me to Judges chapter 2. There we find, and Judges chapter 2, or I'm sorry, Joshua chapter 2. Now this is the testimony of Rahab, and through faith in what she had learned, she trusted the God of Israel. It's verse 8 we read, "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord," that is Jehovah, that's the personal name of God. This was no kind of shallow understanding of things. "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath." That was a testimony of God to the nations round about. It wasn't only just for the deliverance of the children of Israel, but it was a message to the entire world. And that whole world shook up, all the Canaanites. But notice that also Sihon and Og, they were destroyed. Now, Moab borders the land of Sihon and Og, the land of the Amorites. That's where Moab was. And just across the Jordan from Moab was Israel and Jordan and Jericho, where all these events happened. You don't think that that wasn't common knowledge in those days? It certainly was. Because Israel there was dwelt in the land. And it was in very recent history that these events all took place. And if the chronologists are correct, they were living under the dominion of Israel at that particular time. You don't think that Ruth understood all this stuff? I think she did. No. But I think even more than that, there was something else that brought her to the knowledge of Jehovah. Judgment and power alone does not make people repent. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And what she saw in this broken saint, Naomi, and perhaps in their weakened husbands, and even perhaps before, if they had met Elimelech, there was something that separated these people from everyone else. They What do we read? Our brother read this morning a verse. Isaiah chapter 57. I'd like again to turn, have you turn with me to that verse. Isaiah 57. And verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. And then this other line brings us from eternity down, right down into the dusty hills of Moab with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. There, Naomi, a contrite and humble spirit. The Lord has dealt with me. These came from the lips of Naomi. And then we read further of her concern for her daughter-in-laws. He says, it's my fault that this has all happened to you. I'm not blaming God. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming anything. It's all me. There was something that drew that Ruth to the God of Israel through this broken saint. Just like Gideon's lanterns. Until the lanterns were broken, the light did not shine through. It's through this brokenness that we become a true light to the world. Her decision. She now has comes a crisis. Naomi three times tries to persuade them, go back to your gods, go back to your, you're going to have husbands. There's no hope for looking in me. But Ruth's hope was not in Naomi, it was in the God of Naomi. Naomi had nothing physical to offer her, but she didn't realize the spiritual wealth that she had within her soul. And see, now the three of them make their steps down toward the Jordan River. That's the dividing line. Cross over from Moab into Israel. You have to cross the Jordan River. And there, I think, as the boatman probably was waiting, if they needed a boatman at that particular time, unless there was some place to ford. But before they crossed the river, Naomi one last time says, girls, go back. There's nothing for you in Israel. Go back, you can get husbands. Go back to your gods. There's a crisis now. Orpah, very sadly, who loved Naomi dearly, kissed her, turned around, and goes back. But Ruth, she didn't. She clung to her. She clung to her. Don't, she says, don't entreat me to leave you. Or turn back. How many times do we read turn back in that? 15 times there is the word turn back or return in this book. There's a turning back to what was before, but there's a return to what comes in front. And that's the same word that is used in the different contexts. This book is a book of turning back and going forward. Ruth says, no, your God is going to be my God. Here's this young widow, beautiful young widow. Now, Hebrew and the Moabite language was exactly the same. There would be a difference in accent, that would be all. It would mark her as a foreigner, but she would have complete understanding of everything that would be said when she went to that land. It wasn't a problem for her. She didn't have to learn a new language. But she would have marked upon her a stranger the whole time. And as they cross over into Israel, they set foot first. It says the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. We find a stranger, and we find poor. God had made provisions for them already. He had anticipated this return. And in the book of the law, he had already anticipated the needs of these strangers and poor. Two widows. They come back at the time of barley harvest. Barley harvest. That's the beginning of the harvest. That's Passover time. That's when, as they would walk, as they approached Bethlehem, the fields of barley would be gold and ready for ripening. And the priest already had cut a sheaf and had waved it before the Lord in the temple. It was a picture of resurrection. That's the picture for us, is the resurrection. They had come. They hardly knew it, but they had come to new life. And the book of Ruth is a book of harvest. It begins with a barley harvest. It ends with the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest there speaks of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so we see the stranger, Ruth the stranger, she appears. And next week we'd like to look at Ruth the gleaner. As gleaner among the people of God, reapers, she grows. She grows. And next week we'd like to look at her as the reaper. How did she become such a good reaper? There's lessons for us, I believe, in our approach to the Word of God as we glean the fruit, as it were, of heaven, the bread from heaven for our own souls. Our time is gone. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We think of Ruth the stranger. Lord, we've made that journey, many of us. Out of the land of Moab, with all its promises, but with very little to support us there. There's nothing. Chemosh, a vile god. Moabites, terrible, terrible history. Israel, the God of heaven. Our footsteps took across the Jordan, the place of death. I'm now walking, Lord, to union with our Boaz. Thank you, O God our Father, for these pictures from the Old Testament, we pray. Bless them to our souls and us for your service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.